We turn to the psalm we read, Psalm 90, and we shall read again at verse 12. Psalm 90 at verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Amen. As you note from the heading to the psalm, this psalm is attributed to Moses, and it must be the oldest psalm in the book of Psalms. And Moses is the man of God. There are many men of God in Scripture, men of God today, women of God. But Moses, preeminently, the man of God. The man of God who stood out in Old Testament times because of his eminence as a believing man, and because of the role he had at the head of God's people under Jesus Christ. For Christ was in the church of the Old Testament. He was the one who led Israel through the wilderness ultimately. He was at the head of his flock at that time. Moses under him. And Moses prominent in God's purpose for his people. We might say that Moses was the chief of the Old Testament prophets. And this psalm is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. The first part of the psalm is a contemplation of man. Fallen man, frail man, man's mortality, and that in light of God's eternity. Mortal man, but God who is from everlasting to everlasting God. And then the second part of the psalm is a prayer. And the text we have chosen is the first petition in that prayer, the prayer of Moses, the man of God. And the subject for us to consider with the Lord's help is numbering our days. Numbering our days. That is a duty. That is something we should be doing. And there are, of course, events, occasions, which make us particularly desire to do that. Well, certainly we ought to desire to do that. When there is a death, when there are several deaths in a short period of time, the truth that man is mortal, that our days are appointed to us, and they come swiftly to a close, this truth should be borne in to our hearts and minds so that we think upon it and benefit from thinking upon it. The meditation of the Christian is never to be idle. It is to be with purpose, to know God better, to know ourselves better than we do, and so to appreciate God's provision for us in his beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Numbering our days. The first thing we shall note is Moses' request. You see how the text begins. A petition, as we have said. So teach us to number our days. The desire of God's servant on his own behalf and on behalf of his people, that God would teach them, instruct them, bring home to them the lessons they need to learn. We believe that this psalm was composed at the time when the 10 spies, the great majority of the spies sent out, 12 in number, brought back an evil report concerning the land of Canaan, the land that God had promised to his people of old. And the result of that evil report, whereby they misled the people, disheartened the people, saying it was not a good land at all, saying that it ate up the inhabitants of the land, also speaking of the giants that were there, the fierce inhabitants of the land, and how difficult it would be for Israel to enter in. That report, that evil report, caused the people to complain against Moses, God's faithful servant. In reality, their complaint was against God himself. How often we see that in the wilderness journey. All along the way, rising up from within the hearts of God's people, God's professing people, is that sense that all is not right, all is not well. The Lord has in one way or another not been kind to them, not given them all that they wanted. And they were forgetting that God was often revealing his displeasure with regard to his people. Because they did not trust him. Because they were hankering after Egypt. Because they were not giving praise and thanks for the wonderful deliverance they had received. When they had cried to the Lord. When they had groaned under the oppression of Pharaoh and his people. And the Lord had done for them what they wanted. He had given them release. He had done so by his mighty arm. He'd taken them across the Red Sea. And he had caused the waters to return and to overwhelm the Egyptians pursuing them. Now they were free. Now they were free to serve God and worship him as he requires of his people. But no, a lack of faith, a carnal attitude, divisions in the camp, complaining against Moses and against God himself. Judgment came upon them. And we learn from Scripture that the adult males, with the exception of Caleb and Joshua, did not enjoy the privilege of entering Canaan. And Israel spent a remarkable 40 years in the wilderness. That was really a chastisement. Now, as ever, God would turn it all to good. The nation would be instructed by their experience. And those who were truly godly would indeed be a witness, a light to those who had a merely nominal belief in God. Moses loved his nation, his people, those over whom God had set him. And in this prayer, he asks God that those who had revealed such a hardness within, such a stubbornness and stiff neck, that they would be taught by the Lord, that they would receive the instruction necessary to think properly about their existence and about the preciousness of life. So teach us to number our days, O teach us. And we need that. We tend to take everything for granted. Now, as you know, in this psalm, we have that measure of the days of our years, 70 years and 10. And that may be an average measure. But do we deserve it? Can we say that God must give us that? We cannot say any such thing. Our lives are forfeit the moment they begin. And that because of sin. It has ever been so. Whether the generation be upright or wicked, no generation is perfect. No individual, no believer, no gracious, godly man or woman deserves 70 years and 10 from God. It is apportioned by the Lord in his kindness, and space is given while we have our breath to think upon the most important things, to seek after God, to draw near to him, and to find our blessedness in him. And if by his grace we enjoy newness of life through the mediator Jesus Christ, then we have a new aim and ambition in life. The Lord is leaving us here that we might show forth his praises. And we are to redeem the time, to buy it back as it were. We are now in Christ. We are to live for his glory. We're not to fritter away our time, spend our days merely to amuse ourselves, to enjoy this or that recreation or leisure. Think of the terms that are used in the Bible to describe the people of God and the activity that they should be engaged in. They are the army of God. We are soldiers of Christ. We are fighting the good fight of faith. Israel, to enter the promised land, had to fight literal battles. And they had to be an army, organized, trained, fit to take on the inhabitants in the promised land, the Canaanites. And many of the Canaanite tribes were fierce and cruel and no easy opponent at all. And Israel under God fighting these battles. And the Lord on their side and giving them the victory. And you and I have this calling to war a good warfare. We have the armor of God and we are to have it on by faith in Jesus Christ. And we have protective armor, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and so forth. But we have weapons that we are to wield. We have especially the sword of the Spirit, the precious word of God. And are we making use of it? That is how we may go forward as Christians and as the church. The prayerful use of divine weapons, the word read, the word proclaimed, and the word borne testimony to by the Lord's people. Teach us to number our days. Instruction required, so that we do not take our ease while we remain in this world. The rest comes later. Here there must be engagement with the enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And remember that we are nothing at all. We have no strength, we have no skill, apart from our union with Christ. He is the captain of our salvation. It is from him that we learn how to fight. We often refer to Christ when he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, because what we read concerning that event is so instructive for us. We see how Christ dealt with Satan. Satan with his subtle temptations, but Christ always having the answer, the right response. Where did it come from? It came out of the scriptures, the book of Deuteronomy, and those words that Moses himself wrote, the author of the first five books of the Old Testament, under God. Christ makes reference to them. He quotes them accurately, tellingly, and ultimately, Satan has to depart from the Lord for a season. Well, we need to be searching the scriptures, to be armed with them, that we might know how to we are to walk in the fear of the Lord, and how we are to gain our entrance into the promised land of heaven. Walking with Christ and knowing his strength and enabled by his Spirit. Watching, praying, and fighting, not with carnal weapons, but those weapons that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The strongholds of sin. And yes, they are in our own hearts. And the strongholds of sin in the world around us. Moses' request. Teach us. We need instruction. People require to know the truth, to be persuaded of it, and to have it abiding, dwelling in their hearts. And so the nation would then be walking with the Lord and obedient to him. Secondly, the reckoning we are to make. So teach us to number our days. That was the specific request that Moses and the people of Israel would number their days, reckon with what the Lord gives to man, and make the best use of the time that they were given. You've referred to the 70 years. It may be a little more, It may be a little less. It may be much less. And we note that the prayer is, so teach us to number our days. We are to think of each day. And each day that God gives us in this world is a great privilege and is very precious. We're being formed for eternity. And if the Lord is in our lives, then each day there should be something of a greater sense of gratitude to God for our salvation, and a greater sense of expressing that gratitude by seeking more of Christ, and to be built up in Him, and to be fashioned into His likeness. The days that God gives, most of them have now gone. We have to say that. And we have to think about that. For us, by far the greater part of our days in this world, it is gone. What of the days that are left? We have to think about them. We may think about our past days, and if we do, well, let there be something of regret that we did not use them as well as we should have done, that too much time was wasted. Let us resolve to use what time God grants us, what remains to us in this world, better than we have done. More in the interest of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, His cause in the world, the good of our own souls, and the good of our fellow men. If you take the 70 years and you calculate the number of days making up 70 years, it is a little over 25,000. It might sound a large number, but in another sense, it is a rather small number. And when you think of infancy, and when you think of rest and sleep, well, that's a large part of those 25,000 days. When we are really not engaged, in active service for the Lord, and that reduces the time that we may consciously give in following and serving Jesus Christ. So life is brief. We spend our years as a tale that is told. And life is uncertain. There is our frailty. And when we are in good health, we do not think much about that. And when our loved ones also enjoy health, we perhaps think very little about it at all. But it just takes some event, some sickness, some illness, and we are confronted with this fact that we are very frail indeed. It is only the will of God and His upholding of us that means that we are still in this world. Apart from the Lord, we might have left this world many days, weeks, months, years before now. Oh, praise the Lord that we are still here on mercy's ground, and that we are still found walking with the Lord. That is a great wonder to us. What of our faith? It is feeble. It is not what it ought to be. Too many doubts. And yet the Lord has preserved us, trusting as far as we are able in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the faithful one. In Him, God's covenant is ordered in all things and sure. And that covenant embraces all His poor unworthy people, ourselves included. And salvation in the end does not depend upon the amount of or strength of our faith, but on the Lord's grace and on the finished redeeming work of Christ, and how the Spirit of God has come into our souls to abide there and to continue His gracious work, that we may be preserved unto life eternal. Numbering our days, to make each day count for eternity. We're not earning anything from God, but the calling is to serve according to our position, our capacity in terms of gifts and abilities, to serve the Lord. And we may all bear witness to Christ. That is often a very challenging thing, especially in the climate we find ourselves in now. The hostility that is evident in many places to the things of God and even the people of God. But speak for the Lord we must. And pray then that the Lord would give you a mouth, and that the Lord would give you an utterance. And may it be a word that is personal. What the Lord has done for your soul, the blessings you enjoy in your Saviour, the peace of conscience, the spiritual joy, the heavenly hope. These are simple things. But if we know these things, and we trust that we do, it ought to be natural for us to say something regarding them. And a simple word spoken humbly and in love to another and desire for their spiritual good may in the hands of God be blessed and be used by Him for the good of a fellow sinner. To number our days. How many do we have left? We cannot say. And so, live every day as though it was your last day. And if you knew it was your last day, or you would be praying, you would be reading the Scripture and thinking upon the Scripture, you would be laying aside many other things and occupied with the one thing needful. Finally, the reason for these things, the request, teach us, and the reckoning to number our days. And the reason is this, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. When you think of it, wisdom has a great importance in Scripture. It is a very significant term. There is the quality of wisdom, the attribute of wisdom, but there is wisdom personified. and Christ, the wisdom of God. It all leads to Him. True wisdom is Jesus Christ. It is found in having a right relation to Jesus Christ. There is worldly wisdom, and we do not despise it when it is of practical good. So much of it, though, rises up in opposition to the teaching of the Scriptures. The worldly wise will say, this universe came about by a natural force. There was an event called a Big Bang, the Big Bang, and that brought everything into existence. And we are the result of it, ultimately. And the conscience tells us that that is nonsense. And yet learned people, and they know their individual subjects, this is what they hold to. And they impart their wisdom to others. We open the Bible. We read the very first verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then God spoke. Let there be light. And there was light. The days of creation. And God brought living things into being. Man included. So man is God's creature. And that means we have purpose in life. And the purpose is set out for us in the Bible. To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And to do that in whatever calling, earthly calling we have. That's the purpose for which God leaves us in this world. And time ought to be preparation for eternity. Time passes quickly, but as we spend our time here, we are to learn the lessons of life, eternal life. And the fear of God, fear of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom, true wisdom. When you bow before your Creator, when you come to Him in the name of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, well then, your mind is enlightened. A work has been done. There's a life within your soul. There is a desire for God and the things of God. And the Scriptures are opened up to you in a wonderful way. And so you learn wisdom as God has taught it in His Word and as the Spirit instructs us out of that Word. If we are to be blessed in eternity, we must obtain wisdom. No one enters heaven casually, where to them religion is a matter of indifference, and it does not really matter what you believe. No one enters heaven that way. It is a prepared place for a prepared people. And here's the preparation. Instructed out of God's Word, through prayer, and in the exercise of faith, the Lord makes wise the simple. He makes them wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. When we have been set free from our sin, as we believe we have, we are set free to serve Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and King. And that service is a blessed thing. We are free indeed in Jesus Christ. And sin shall not have dominion over us. Christ, in his grace, now has dominion. No time to waste. Each day, a precious gift from God. And to do something each day before the Lord and his glory. And we trust many things each day. The request you make in prayer, the word you speak, the work you do, revealing God's grace and God's glory. Such will come to the end of their days, whenever that end shall be, the Lord alone knows, and they will be such as will have an abundant entrance into heaven. And we must guard against it ourselves. They get in, as it were, by the skin of their teeth. The righteous scarcely saved. That is the truth. It's nothing of our doing. But to flourish in the courts of God's house and to be bringing forth fruit even in our old age. That we should be seeking by God's grace. That when we come to that day, we shall indeed, with joy, make our departure into the perfect world above, and to behold the one to whom we owe all our salvation, Jesus Christ. We praise his name for the days we are given, and we seek grace to use them for his praise. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, we seek thy forgiveness for the lack of diligence and the lack of obedience and every other thing whereby we come short of thy glory and our lives are not what they ought to be. Wilt thou be merciful to our unrighteousness? And wilt thou be gracious to us, that we would have that strength to go on with Christ, not fearing the face of man, and shining more and more brightly, even toward our appointed end in this world. And then, by thy blessing, to enter in among those who shine as stars in heaven. Take away all our sin, and we ask it for Christ's sake alone. Amen.